Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all. It's good to see some visitors with us this morning. You're very welcome indeed. And welcome to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. All are welcome. Let us worship God, hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible, God only wise. Let us pray. Almighty God, immortal and invisible, we gather this new morning to worship you. You are the source of life itself. You created us in your own image, and you watch over us each and every day of our lives. Gracious God, as the season changes, the daylight reduces and the leaves fall, we praise you that you do not change, that you remain the same, perfect in love and good to all that you have made. Loving God for family and friends, for health and strength, and most of all for Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, we praise your great name. Lord God, as we draw near to you in worship, we confess there are times when we can take your love for granted. There are some days we greet with indifference and even reluctance. And we know we have said and done things that have been hurtful to other people. Gracious God, patient and understanding, forgive us our sins, and grant that, moved by your redeeming grace, We will respond by amending our ways, putting right that which is wrong, and being faithful to you, the one who is wonderfully kind. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just one or two notices to bring to your attention. The Tuesday group begins the new session this coming Tuesday with an afternoon tea in the parish halls. That's at 2 o'clock. And the Tuesday group's open to men as well as women. And so all are welcome. It's a great opportunity to meet one another and to have a time of fellowship. That's the Tuesday group this Tuesday, 2 o'clock. I look forward to conducting services on Wednesday in Eccles Court at 2 and then in Westerland's care home at 3. A new Tese ecumenical group has been formed in Stirling, and reflective services will be held on the last Friday of every month. The service this month will be in Park Church on Friday coming, and all will be welcome. Next Sunday will be our Harvest Thanksgiving service, when once again we'll be supporting the work of Water Aid. Envelopes have been delivered along with the autumn edition of the parishioner, but if you don't have an envelope, you'll find Water Aid envelopes in both vestibules of the church today. You can also give online through Water Aid's website, and you'll find the link on our own church website. So that's the Harvest Thanksgiving, the family service next Sunday. And visitors to the church are invited to take a copy of the latest edition of the church newsletter. You'll find copies in both vestibules of the church as you leave today. It's good to see a number of young people with us this morning. I don't know if any of you would like to come out here to the front. Would you like to come out? I don't have anything to show you, but I've got some questions maybe I would like to ask you. It's great to see you. There we are. How good to see you all. Now, do you want to shout out your name so that people will know? Because it's nice to meet you. What's your names? Gareth. And your Jackson. What lovely names. Gareth and Jackson. And what's your name? What was that?
Tiano.
What a lovely... Tiano. Oh, what a beautiful name. A lovely name. And? Cameron, of course. And Rebecca. And Caitlin. And Carla. And Ewan. It's good to see you. I've got a question. What makes you unhappy? Not what makes you sad, but what makes you unhappy?
Angry.
When you get angry, yes, when you're angry, you're not happy, sure you're not. What else is there? Yes? When you get hurt. That's a very good answer. Yes, when you get hurt, you're not happy, sure you're not. Anything else that makes you unhappy? When people annoy you, and that happens, doesn't it? Hey, that happens. Boys and girls and men and women, we could all annoy each other through the things that we say or that we do. That's not nice. That makes us unhappy. What about if your friends are out playing and you're told, no, you can't go out to play until you've tidied your room? Does that make you unhappy? Eh? That would make me unhappy. Eh? I was talking to a mum recently and she said that her wee girl was looking through her mum and dad's wedding album, all the photos, and she was very unhappy because she wasn't in any of them. Now, I've got a question. Have you heard of someone called Jonah? Jonah. We read about Jonah in the Bible, right? In the first part of the Bible. And we're told that something happened to Jonah. Anyone guess?
He got devoured by a massive fish.
He got swallowed by a massive fish. He did. Do you think that made him happy? I think that would make him very unhappy. But the good thing is, he didn't remain in the big fish's mouth for long. For after 3 days and three nights, he came back out and he appeared on dry land. And he went on to live his life. However, there was something that made him very unhappy. There were people who lived in a city called Nineveh, and they weren't very nice people. They did bad things. In fact, the word wicked was used to describe them, so they must have been very bad. And there were people who made Jonah unhappy. He didn't like them at all. But then God spoke to them through Jonah. And do you know what happened? Something wonderful happened. The people listened to the message that had come from God. And they decided they would be bad no longer. And so they changed their ways. They started to look out for one another, to care for one another. And they praised God. And because of that, rather than punish them for all the bad they had done, God was kind to them. He forgave them. And he invited them to be part of his family. That made them happy. But guess what? It made Jonah unhappy because he thought, these people have been bad. They shouldn't be shown any kindness by God. God should punish them. But no, God made them part of his family, and because of that, Jonah was unhappy and he went off in the huff. Do you ever go off in the huff? Hey? Well, Jonah was in the huff. He had a lesson to learn, and perhaps it's a lesson we need to learn too. Because sometimes we can think that other boys and girls and men and women, because of things that they have said or done in the past, we might think they shouldn't be part of God's family, the church. But the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that if we love God, if we love one another, and we try to do the best we can, then, guess what? We are all welcome in God's family. And that's because he loves us so much. And that, I think, is something that should make us all happy. Thank you very much for coming out. Now, you know that the Sunday club will be going down to the hall after the next hymn. And you're very welcome to go as well. And I hope you'll come back and see us again, because it's just lovely to see you all this morning, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? There's one person missing. Is it your brother, Gregor? Well, tell him that we missed him, will you? Thank you very much. You can go back to your pew now. We're going to sing our hymn. It's hymn 193. Hymn 193, God is love, his the care.
Let us hear the word of God as it is found in the book of Jonah, starting at chapter 3, verse 10, then following through chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. You'll find it in the Pew Bible 771. Jonah chapter 3. When God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord said, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at the dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said, "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many as cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about this great city?" And in the New Testament, we read from Matthew chapter 20 to the end. Matthew chapter 20 to the end, and can be found on page 18 of the Pew Bible. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out to work early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. And so when those came who were hired first and they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they had received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the men who were hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first shall be last.'" Amen. May God bless these readings in his name, and to his praise be the glory and the praise. Amen.
Thank you, Rod. Hymn 624, 624, to the tune Kilmarnock, In Christ There Is No East or West. Mentioned in the hymn of East and West is making me think of something that happened yesterday afternoon. After visiting friends, I went for a walk up through Charters Hall and then climbing up towards Roger Head. And I met this guy who turned out to be an American. And it was his first visit to Scotland. And he was taking photographs. Well, we got into a conversation. And he said, what landmarks are there that you would point out to me? Well, you get a great view from up there. And I says, well, there's the castle and there's the Wallace Monument. I said, but look more closely. Do you see that tower there in the distance? He said, I do. I said, that's the tower of St. Ninian's Old. And he said, wow. As only an American can. And I said, have you heard of Oliver Cromwell? Yes. And Bonnie Prince Charlie? Yes. I said, well, they visited that place. And you know what he said? Gosh, the pastor must be very proud. I said, he is, I can assure you. And then he said, and this is the connection with East and West, he said, I want to go to the coast. What coast should I go to, East or West? I didn't need to have to think about that one. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you in prayer, acknowledging your greatness and rejoicing in your love and mercy, we praise you for giving us more than we deserve. While we can give grudgingly and be less than generous in our dealings with you and one another, your goodness to us is extravagant, even reckless. Therefore, mindful of that, we seek your forgiveness for those times when we consider all that we have as ours by right, rather than as your gift to us. Eternal God, you call us to work in your vineyard and to reach out to others in Christ's name with compassion. Help us to gladly give all that we have and all that we are in your service, and may it be that we will do so seeking nothing in return save the knowledge that we are doing your will. Gracious God, we pray today for those we know who are finding life difficult at this time. We think of those out of work and who are anxious as they seek to pay bills. We think of those who are lonely, those who are anxious or troubled, those for whom the day is long and the night longer still. We think of those who, unwell at home or in hospital, are in need of your healing touch. And we think of those who mourn. As we continue to remember the family and friends of David Coutts, we pray also for the families and friends of Alan Henderson, of John Wingate, and of Jean McLaren. May they know your hand is upon them, your arms are around them, and your heart is reaching out to them. Lord God, whose generosity knows no bounds, and who is the source of all our joy, we, your people, praise you, and we offer this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a wee while since we've had our next hymn, so maybe, Tony, could you play a full introduction? That'll be super. Thank you. It's a lovely hymn. Hymn 175, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. It's not fair. I wonder, have you heard someone say that recently? Or perhaps you've said it yourself. They are words we hear quite often, don't we? A child is told it's time to go to bed before his older brother or sister and protests, "It's not fair." Or someone gets the promotion at work that you think you should have got, and you think to yourself, "It's not fair." Or what about people who work for hours for peanuts while others make thousands of pounds doing very little? Yesterday, I saw a young man sitting on a chair at the top of the dual carriageway, and he had a sign pointing to a car wash. And I thought, what will that poor soul get paid for sitting there for hours? When you think of footballers, for example, who get paid a vast amount of money for kicking a ball around for 90 minutes. It's not fair. For Christian people, there is the consolation of knowing that while so much in this life is not fair, we have a God who is fair, who we can trust to do the right thing, a God who makes true the old saying, "What you sow, so shall you reap." A God who is fair. Or is he? Don't worry. I'm not going to be a heretic today. But there are things in the Bible that might make us question how fair God is. Think about the story that Jesus told the disciples and which we read from Matthew's Gospel. A man goes to town early one morning to hire workers and agrees the usual wage for a day's work. But due to the volume of work that needs to be done within a short time, he goes into the town again and again throughout the day, perhaps at 12 noon, and then maybe at 3 o'clock, and then maybe at 4 o'clock, and he hires more workers, telling them as he does so that he will pay them a fair wage. Now, at the day, what happens? Those hired last were paid first. And though they hadn't worked near as long, they were given the same wage as those who had worked since early morning. Fair. Does it not strike us as anything but fair? While those who had worked all day watched as those who had worked less hours were given the same amount of money, how must they have felt? It's not fair. And what must the disciples have thought? Was Jesus not setting a bad example here? And hadn't he done that on a number of occasions? Times when, for example, he ate with tax collectors, or when he healed people on the Sabbath, or when he told sinners they were forgiven simply because they repented and they put their faith in him. And while we're at it, what about God? He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust, and makes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. What is fair in that? Why should the wicked get the same refreshing rain as those who seek to do good? Why should those who have not labored long in the sun receive the same as those who have? I'm sure you will know people who like to provoke. Can you think of anyone you know who likes to stir it up a wee bit? Such people enjoy rocking the boat. They are the people who sometimes make us ask ourselves inwardly, did he or she just say that? I wonder if that is what Jesus was doing when he spoke about the generous vineyard owner. Indeed, can I put it to you, this is what Jesus endeavored to do with a lot of the stories he told. He wants to provoke us. He wants to provoke a reaction within us. He wants to make us think. He wants to make us take sides. So ask yourself these questions. Who are you with today? Are you with the laborers who worked all day and received what they had agreed? Or are you with those who were hired late in the day and were given more than they expected? Are you with Jonah, who sat on a hillside in the huff and aggrieved because God had mercy on the Ninevites? Or are you with the people of that wicked city who were surely doomed to die had they not repented and changed their ways? These are real questions, aren't they? And the answer to them may not always be easy to find. They make us think. They make us take sides. On Friday, I had lunch with two colleagues in Glasgow. And one will retire tomorrow as a prison chaplain, and the other is a minister in Glasgow. And I said to Ian, are you preaching on that story from Matthew's Gospel at the vineyard on Sunday? He says, I am. I said, are you struggling with it? Because I am. He said, I found a story and I'll share it with you. So he gave me the details of where I would find the story. And it concerns Frederick Borsch, who was a bishop in the Episcopal Church in America. And he wrote a number of books, and in one of them he wrote, when my wife became pregnant, I found that I had an inordinate desire to have a son. I feel apologetic about that now. It seems rather sexist. But I had two sisters growing up and no brothers. I wanted to have a brother. But when you want something that much, you figure it will not happen. But it did. Benjamin was born. And all my parental heart went out to him with more love than I knew I had inside me. So much so was this true that when 2 years later my wife was pregnant again, I discovered that I had a very worrisome problem. When the second child was born and as it grew, how was I going to hide from it the fact that I could never love it as much as the first? I must have thought that love was like a pie. The more people that came to share it, the smaller the slices had to be. Then, as though to make matters worse, we had twins. But most will have guessed what happened. It was like a miracle to me. Suddenly, I loved Matthew and Stuart with the same love with which I loved Benjamin, without taking any love from him. This was a strange new arithmetic. The pie seemed to have become larger. This is what the loving of a parent is like, to love in this reckless and even-handed way. Perhaps there's something in that story to help us as we think of Jesus and the stories he told, and as we think of God, who sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. There is, unless we are careful, the temptation to think that some of us deserve God's grace more than others. That may come from the belief that we're not really all that bad. We attend church in person or online. We give to charity. We don't steal or lie or cheat. We are okay, certainly better than some. But are we? Perhaps. But perhaps not. Can I put it to you? We look through the lens of fairness rather than the lens that God looks through, and that is the lens of grace. He sent his Son not to save some, but to save us all. And in his grace there is room for all. The pie is larger than we can ever imagine, with blessings beyond our deserving. My friends, if the story Jesus told and we're thinking about this morning tells us anything, it is that we are all God's children, loved in equal measure. And that means that those who are young in years or new to the faith are loved just as much as those who are old and who have given a lifetime of service. And it means, as Jonah learned, that those we may not deem worthy of being part of the fellowship or of a place at the Lord's table are just as welcome as we are, because it's not about what we think, it's about God and what he thinks, and his goodness and his grace. Now, let's be honest, this can be hard to stomach, can't it? Because we live in an age with a merit system. We are conditioned to see extra reward for our efforts, our good deeds. But we are not to be like that. We are to see things from the point of view of God, whose love is broad and wide. We are all his children. We all need his love. We all need his forgiveness. We all need a day's wage if we are to live. And that is what we receive when we turn to God, when we follow Jesus, when we do the work that he has given us to do, the work of the vineyard. the work of pointing through our words and actions to God, who blesses us abundantly and whose grace is such it cannot be exhausted. Truly, divine goodness trumps human fairness. Grace reverses business as usual. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's take a moment, just a moment, in the quiet to reflect on God's goodness and God's grace. Amen. All my hope on God is founded. Our closing hymn, hymn 192. in peace, and the grace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and even forevermore.